Welcome to AACP's podcast, Inside the Lab, where we discuss anything and everything that concerns today's laboratory professionals and pathologists. My name is Dr. Lotte Mulder. I'm a Director of Leadership and Empowerment at AACP, and I'm one of your hosts.
Hey, everybody. This is Kelly Swales, and I'm also one of your co-hosts. I'm an AACP certified MLS, and I work as the Executive Director of Publications here at AACP. So today we're going to talk about mentoring, which is a pretty important topic for everyone, I think, in or outside of the laboratory. And we have three guests joining us today, and they can introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Dr. Nathan Johnson. I'm the Chair of Laboratory Sciences at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tywana Wilson, and I serve as Assistant Technical Director of Chemistry for CompuNet Clinical Laboratories and President of Trendy Elite Coaching and Consulting.
Hi, I'm Russell Broadus, Chair of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at University of North Carolina School of Medicine in Chapel Hill.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Before we get going on our topic, I need to get a little bit of CME housekeeping out of the way. CME and CMLE will be available for listening to this podcast in the AACP store. The American Society for Clinical Pathology is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide, you guessed it, continuing medical education for physicians. AACP designates this enduring material for a maximum of one AMA, PRA, Category 1 credit. Physicians should only claim the credit commensurate with the extent of their participation in the activity.
First question is, what or who inspired you to become a mentor in the first place?
What inspired me to become a mentor is the hard realization that you can't do it all by yourself, right? I think all of us start to recognize that there's so many aspects of pathology that are important and need to be done well. No one person can do all this. So how do you get it all done? You start to mentor others to take on important roles in the lab and in patient care.
One of the things that inspired me to be a mentor is that I've had great mentors along the way. I understand that you can only get so far by your own wisdom, by your own expertise. But when you have the help of a mentor to leverage their expertise, leverage their connections, it fast tracks your success. And so I wanted to be able to do the same thing that somebody has done for me. And that's why I decided to be a mentor, because I know mentorship is a non-negotiable. You have to have it in order to navigate in the lab, excel in the lab, and really to be able to be successful in the laboratory.
And for me, I grew up fairly quickly professionally, thrust into a management leadership type position kind of very early. And without individuals helping me, I was lost. And so just, you know, along the path, trying to pay it forward a little bit, just knowing that as others had helped me, I was going to try to do my best to help others.
And was there a particular area that you were looking to mentor someone in, or were all of you interested in just a broad aspect of mentorship?
Well, see, that's a great question. For me, I'm always looking for those young professionals or those early leaders who are looking to excel in their career. I know for me, one of my star powers is leadership and career development. So I am looking for those who are looking for expertise and mentorship in that area. While I could serve as a mentor in other areas, I know the power that I bring. And so that's where I choose to be able to be a great mentor. And I know that too, most lab professionals, pathologists, residents have more than one mentor. So I don't have to be a jack of all trades. I could be good, better yet, be great in the zone of genius in which I can be a good mentor for.
I'll add just a few things. For me, it's about looking at individuals who want to do something maybe different or something better. And they know they want it. They just don't know how to get there. And I always go back to the old Peter Frampton song, Show Me the Way. And so we're able to help show a path forward for somebody who might want to do something. And many times it's incredibly beneficial to us as mentors as well when we're able to do that.
I think too, when you see older or more experienced individuals receive mentoring in something that they're not as familiar with, I think that sort of empowers younger members of the laboratory as well. They see that the more experience can also be vulnerable, right? I mean, I had a part of my career where my former practice, we were onboarding a lot of different solid tumor molecular diagnostics. So we had to quickly train some more experienced faculty in how to do this. And so I was learning from much younger faculty than myself, just like being an intern all over again. But I think that sends a good signal to others that it's a kind of a mentoring, caring environment.
Russell, I want to touch on just something you just said, and I'm sure we'll cover it later, but it's good to note that the mentor relationship, the mentor-mentee relationship is not always, I'm an older professional, I'm mentoring someone who's new to the profession. And this is going to sound out of left field, but I think a really good encapsulation of this, I don't know if you guys have seen these, the original thing is a Twitter thread, but it's been since like posted on Facebook and other social media and stuff. But essentially it's this younger office worker who has sort of a back and forth mentee relationship in terms of like terminology for email correspondence, right? Where she'll ask her older colleagues, like, how do I tell them that I'm not needed at this meeting in a nice professional way? Or one of her older colleagues will say, okay, I want to say someone was salty about this. Is that the right context or whatever? So I think that's really important to point out in terms of mentoring that it's not always a one-way street with knowledge going from an older generation to the younger one. It's very much a back and forth. And if you're an older worker, you got to be open to that.
Yes, yeah. I agree. And I think it does promote a really good work environment when it's not just, you know, this knowledge coming from on top of the mountain down into the valleys. It's more of a two-way street, because for sure, there's been a number of times in my career where I've learned from much less experienced and younger individuals than myself, because they had knowledge and they had experience in a specific area that I did not. And so I think for all of us, it's good to remember that it's not just an age thing or gray hair type dynamic.
I think that's a good point, Kelly and Russell, that mentoring can be cross-generational, but also it could be across different professions. Dr. Melissa Upton, I love, love, love her, but she always calls me a mentor. So she's a pathologist by background, and I'm a laboratory professional. And so I have a few years younger experience than she does, but she always talks about how I serve as a mentor to her. But she is truly a mentor to me. So I think it's important to note in the laboratory profession that it could be a laboratory professional who's mentoring a resident or mentoring a pathologist or vice versa, and not just, you know, generational. But I think that was an important point that you mentioned, because sometimes people always think the mentor is always the one who has tons of experience and maybe have the higher seniority. And that's not always true.
My first two professional mentors, interestingly enough, one was a nurse who showed me the importance of kindness in mentoring and helping someone who is truly not as advanced in many ways, and they use their experience to help. And the other was an internal medicine physician who showed some confidence in me and also shared with me some things to, you know, that I could do to help me be successful. And so in an era before there was really a lot of interprofessional type of education and so forth like that, they were able to show me by their actions, you know, how to be a good mentor. And I've tried to use that, you know, moving forward.
All right. So Nathan, you mentioned the key words for me, good mentor. Can you guys kind of outline what some of those characteristics are? You know, what makes a mentor good?
I'll go ahead and go first on this one. For me, a really good mentor is someone who's accessible to me when I need them, but not forcing, you know, anything on me. A good mentor for me is someone that knows a little bit about me, because I'm more than just what I am at work. I've got other things going on in my life. I've got other interests as well. And the primary thing that I have to have in a mentor for me, which I try to give to others, is truly an overarching caring of them as a person and wanting them to succeed and helping to never put my interests first before them, because that focus has to be on the mentee at that point.
I agree with those, Nathan. The only few additional characteristics that I would add is that the mentor has to be passionate. You have to be passionate about helping your mentee and having that passion to teach, to coach, to be able to give your guidance and wisdom. If you're not passionate about something, you're not going to give your all to it. So make sure that you have that passion. I would also say a good characteristic of a mentor would be trust. So as Nathan said, you've got to be able to know your mentee, know more about them than just their job role in the laboratory. And we all know that when you trust somebody, you will act on their recommendations that they have for you. So trust is very important. But the way you build that trust is that you get to know your mentee. You have time for your mentee. You're committed to their success. You're committed to their goals. And being patient. Patience is a virtue. So as mentors, sometimes we want to move things along very quickly. But as you're working with mentees at different levels and with different capacities, I think being patient is another characteristic of a good mentor.
You know, for mentor mentees, we always think mentors should have more knowledge. But I think equally important to that, this has been kind of stated in different ways, I think just the ability to care. And sometimes caring about someone is equally or even more important than the knowledge. You know, knowledge you can get in many different ways and in different places, but truly caring about someone and how they're going to do, that's really, really important. And I think that resonates with mentees.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people aren't stupid, right? They can tell if you're not being genuine. Yeah. And I think too, Taiwan, you had mentioned passionate. I think you not only have to be passionate about mentoring, you have to be passionate about the profession. The laboratory and pathology circles certainly aren't unique in this, but burnout's a very, very real thing, right? And if you yourself are burnt out in whatever position you're in, you're not maybe going to be as effective of a mentor as you could be.
That's true. And if your passion isn't there, your mentee is going to know it. And so it's nothing worse than having a mentee who's passionate, who's excited about learning their role in the laboratory. And then you as the mentor kind of diminish that flame. And that's one thing that we do not want to do as mentors. So you have to be passionate. And if you can't be passionate, then maybe the time is not right for you to be a mentor. You can always pick back up on it when your passion resumes, but don't subject your mentee to that because it's hard to kind of pick up momentum after somebody has diminished your flame.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some things that can really help make that mentor-mentee relationship work?
I think when the mentee has a very, very specific ask, that helps. I think what's hard, especially for me, is when people say, well, I need a mentor. And I say, all right, what exactly do you need help with? And I need help with everything. Well, you can't need help with everything. You know, you obviously got this far in life and you're doing pretty well. The more specific the ask can be, I think the more likely we can pair someone up with, you know, one or more individuals who can help them out and mentor to that specific task. Now, you know, implicit in that means that once you become really proficient in that ask, or, you know, once that delta is kind of bridged, the mentor-mentee relationship may resolve and maybe a new mentor needs to be found for something else. So, I mean, at least to me, mentors may not be forever. You know, friend is forever, but a mentor may not be forever necessarily.
I think that makes sense. When you talked about questions that the mentor-mentee should ask, it made me think about some questions that, you know, we ourselves should ask ourselves before saying yes to mentor someone. And I think if we ask ourselves these questions, it will allow for a better mentor-mentee relationship. So some of the questions the mentor should ask theirself before saying yes to being a mentor is, what are the goals of the mentee? What are the expectations of the mentee? Can I guide and support the mentee? What is the commitment required of me as the mentor? Can I identify resources and opportunities to further their development? Will I be patient and understanding as they learn and grow? And do I promise to celebrate in the successes and encourage them during difficult times? And I think if we have these candid conversations with ourselves and we are honest with ourselves before embarking on the mentor-mentee relationship, it will allow for something to be impactful for however long that time period will be, whether it's a year-long mentorship, whether it's a five-year mentorship, or whether it's a mentorship that only lasts for, you know, 90 days or less.
We've talked a lot about, obviously, you guys are mentors currently. You've had mentors in the past. What are some ways that somebody can find a mentor?
You know, one way, without putting too much thought into it up front, is just to ask someone in the group, you know, maybe the leader of the group, but not necessarily, just say, I need help. And this is what I need help with or mentoring in. Then the group or the leader of the group or both can help start working to identify who it might be the best person or people to provide that mentoring. I think some people get a little stuck in like, I don't know who to ask. Just ask. And then, you know, others can help you out and help identify who might be the best person to work with.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, like what you need help with. I'm just thinking back to my time in the laboratory. And, you know, I worked evening shift and then I was hired into a day shift microbiology position. And as you guys know, and this is true of any area of the laboratory, whenever you go from being a generalist to a specialist, it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot to microbiology that I did not learn in school. And anyway, school was 15 years ago, you know, so I really needed a lot of help on in terms of the microbiology bench. But also I had at the time aspirations of maybe, you know, going into management administration. So I would have needed a totally different mentor for that. You have to really think about what you want and where you're going and looking around you and seeing who fits that role.
Yeah. And sometimes just asking a colleague, you know, that maybe your approximate equal, like who's good to, who likes to provide help. And you don't even have to tell them the specific ask, just who's a good person that I can sit down and talk to for about 30 minutes about this. And, you know, even if that person is not the ultimate mentor, more likely than not, they can point you in the right direction. I think it's just that initial getting over the inertia to say, I need help with something, or I need guidance with something, because mentors are good, but they can't read your mind, right? It's very hard to tell unless someone's overtly struggling, whether they're struggling. And usually that struggle is kept kind of more internal.
I agree. So when I think about ways that you can find a mentor, I think, you know, with this being ASCP, starting with the ASCP mentorship program. And one of the impactful things about the program is it lets you select mentors from different backgrounds, different laboratories. It could be a pathologist you would select as a mentor, it could be a lab professional. But I think starting with the ASCP program or other professional societies that offer mentorship programs is a great way. Also, your community groups. So I am a member of a sorority. And so as I was looking at building my sorority resume and thinking about different leadership opportunities available in the sorority, I found a mentor that was in the sorority that could help guide me for the leadership roles that I was looking at making. If you're thinking about your particular organization, I agree. Look at others in whom you wish to be like, right? So if you find somebody that's a great manager, a great leader, you know, ask them, would they mind mentoring you? I think one of the things too is understanding that the mentor may not be your boss, right? Sometimes people think that, you know, my boss is going to be my mentor. And that's not always true. I've had very few bosses that actually served as a mentor for me. There are other formal mentorship programs that are out there. So if you desire to be a mentor or be a mentee, I had the opportunity to actually mentor a young college student in Africa through a global mentorship initiative. And so there are ways for you to look for mentors or serve as mentors inside your organization, but also outside. So think professional societies, think community groups, think whatever it is that you have a passion for, and is probably a mentorship opportunity available in that particular space.
One other area to possibly consider is attending national meetings with your professional association. That networking that can go on there many times will result in meeting people who may not be your mentors, but they can certainly help connect you with somebody who might be an appropriate mentor for you.
The other thing I was going to add that I think helps promote a little bit more of an open atmosphere where people feel like they can come forward and ask for help or seek guidance is we will ask speakers occasionally to give talks, not so much data-driven or here's my research type talk, but more here's my story talk or here's my journey talk. And it is really, really, you know, one, it's entertaining. Two, it's really instructive to see how some of these really, really successful people, all the bumps and curves that they've encountered along the way. And I think that really helps to reinforce to our trainees and to our younger staff and faculty that, you know, good people aren't just born and placed there, right? I mean, they've encountered a lot of the same hurdles, a lot of the same obstacles that you did. A lot of them couldn't preordain their career path and say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z by the time I'm age 40. A lot of it is like recognizing opportunities and, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities and being willing to step outside of your wheelhouse of comfort. And I think the more we see those types of stories being told, I think people start saying, wow, you know, that person really did struggle for a while before they won the Nobel Prize or became, you right. know, the group leader type of thing.
So are there some ways in which people should not go about finding a mentor? Like, are there some mistakes that people make or things to avoid?
One potential mistake is assuming like the quote unquote expert in the field or in your group would be the best mentor. Sometimes that's not the best mentor. They're not willing to spend the time. You know, they're not as, you know, they're very passionate about their own work, but not so passionate about others. So, you know, to me, I think it's not always the most knowledgeable, but it's that combination of who has the right knowledge mix and who's willing to spend the time and really cares about individuals. Also recognizing that the first person you have, that may not be a great mentor-mentee relationship. So don't be thwarted by failure with that. I mean, move on. I mean, it's just like making friends, right? Not everyone you encounter is going to become your best friend. I think mentor-mentee relationships are also very similar. You know, hold on to the ones that are successful. The ones that kind of fizzle out, you know, it fizzled out. That happens.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. I think assuming that your boss will be your mentor. I see it a lot with a lot of young laboratory professionals where they assume that their boss will be their mentor. And sometimes that is the case and sometimes that is not the case. Another mistake that I see people make when they're looking for a mentor is they expect the mentor to drive the mentoring relationship. The mentorship relationship really should be a collaborative effort. But sometimes if people want a mentor and they say, well, they'll ask somebody, will you serve as my mentor? But then they expect for the mentor to be the one who developed the goal, to maintain the contact. And that's not always the best mentoring relationship either. Looking for those influential leaders or people in a position of power that you're like, I want that person to be my mentor. And Russell kind of talked about this. In that sometimes those people are not good mentors. Just because somebody has reached a certain level of authority or leadership does not mean that they will make the best mentors. I had a leader one time, they let me know that they were not a good mentor. And so that has stuck with me. And I know when I'm looking for mentorship, I wouldn't look for mentorship in that person. So making sure that the person that you're seeking mentorship goes back to having that passion for wanting to be a mentor and have the time to be your mentor. One of my mentors is a very influential leader, but she has many mentees, which means that she doesn't really have capacity to maybe serve as a mentor in the way that I could be looking for that support. So making sure that whomever you ask to be your mentor really has the capacity to serve as your mentor. And sometimes when people are influential or are inspiring people, you know, they have tons of mentees, and sometimes they just don't have a lot of time to commit to each of their mentees. And as long as you have that expectation and understand that up front, I think it will make for a better mentoring relationship.
I think also you could have some potential individuals who could be mentors. You might look to them and say they might be someone good. But sometimes reasons that an individual might want to be a mentor could also be selfish. It may be self-serving in some way. I haven't been a mentor before. I need to put this feather in my cap, et cetera. And so look at the individuals who are around that person, those people that interact with them, and see, are they better because of it? Because the last thing you ever want to do is get into a potentially non-beneficial or possibly a toxic type of relationship. And those have happened before. So you have to be very careful and select and be judicious in selecting that mentor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've definitely come across people in my career who are very driven and they want to climb the ladder, which that in itself is obviously not bad, right? Obviously, that's a good thing if you want to do that. But they definitely saw mentoring as a rung in their ladder rather than a rung in yours. And that's something that you have to be kind of cautious about.
And sometimes with those type, what may be more useful to use them for is not for them to be the mentor themselves, but maybe they've created a big network. They know people and say, do you know someone either within our organization or even outside of it who can be a good mentor? I mean, you know, one of the few good things to come out of COVID is to realize it's easy to do a Zoom interview. It's easy or a Zoom meeting. It's easy to pick up the phone and talk to people, and you can still get things done, you know, if you're even separated by several states. So, you know, mentorship does not have to be the person right next to you or even in the office down the hall from you. It can be someone from a different part of the country.
Yeah, especially if you're maybe in a very rural area, or if the workplace that you're currently in is maybe on the toxic side, I think it's important to know that, yeah, it's in some situations, it's absolutely essential for you to go out of your immediate circle and broaden that horizon. I kind of want to touch on something that we've sort of touched on, but I want to ask the actual question, even though I suspect I already know what you guys are going to say. At what professional level is a mentorship important? You know, is it early career, late career, whatever? I mean, I know we've kind of already talked about it, but I want to get your specific thoughts on that.
I think at all levels of your career, mentorship is important. So whether you are that early professional and you're looking for mentorship and learning how to grow and develop, or if you are a senior leader. So I serve as a senior leader within my organization, and I'm always looking for mentorship for either those who are two levels above me, who are in the executive suite, because I'm looking for ways to develop some of the skills that I might not use on an everyday basis. I also look for mentorship, not just professionally, but personally. I am a newer mom. My daughter is 3. And so I want to know, how are these working moms balancing it all? So looking for mentorship in that capacity as well. I think, you know, as you learn and grow and develop, you understand that you are always a student. And so as long as you understand that you're always a student, then there's always opportunity for mentorship. But I don't think you ever get too old or you're too young for mentorship. But I would say at various levels, I seek executives, a member of the American College of Healthcare Executives. So I'm always interested to know, how do hospital leaders think, right? So being able to get mentorship from them, because when I know how they think, it helps me in the laboratory to be able to navigate and be able to tell the story or ask the question or position the lab in a way that the executive could understand. It's easy to talk to lab folks sometimes because we have the same kind of experience.
We're speaking the same language.
Right. But when you're talking to a CFO of a hospital, you know, that same language is not the same. So I think you can always have mentors. It doesn't matter what level you are in your professional journey.
I agree. And I think to me, each time I was asked to take on something new, or I thought it was a good opportunity to take on something new, I always sought mentorship. And often it was from younger individuals who I thought were had much more expertise in that area. So I agree. I think this mentorship happens throughout. And to me, I celebrate that. I think that's one of the fun aspects of my job is, you know, yes, I do a lot of teaching, but I learn from our students and our residents and fellows and younger faculty. I think equal is to the amount that I teach them. And I think that's part of this job.
What are some ways, or can you share a specific example of when you were helped by being a mentor yourself?
I think especially when helping students or residents with their project, you don't do it for them. You help provide guidance, you help provide suggestions. But when those students or residents or fellows go on to present their work, you know, they list you as one of their mentors or as one of their primary investigator mentors. It's secondary, you know, they look great on a national stage or even on a local stage, but secondarily, you look great too. I mean, people will pull you aside and say, wow, you did a fantastic job in helping that student or that resident or that younger faculty. So to me, if the mentor-mentee relationship is successful, the mentor is always going to win out on something like that.
Well, I can think back in my last role, I took a detour from the lab and had the opportunity to start up a mobile diagnostics program in which we incorporated screening mammography and we had some point of care type laboratory testing that we would take to the community. And so that was very different being out in the community, didn't know much about mammograms. I had never had a mammogram before, but I had a mentor and she served as our chief nursing officer of women's health. And one of the things that she did is she allowed me to get off to a fast start. She let me know about things that I should be thinking about, collaborating with our community health centers, thinking about churches that we could collaborate with, thinking about businesses in which we could take the mobile van so that we were bringing services to where women worked and lived. And that helped me to, one, be successful in that role because, again, I was learning kind of a new craft, but having that expertise that she shared with me of target these particular partners, make relationships with these particular entities. And that helped really understanding who were players in that market and understanding how to navigate our health departments. I worked with our fire and police departments because I needed permits in order to have our mobile vans at certain locations. But if it wasn't for having her experience as a nursing officer in women's health, I think it would have taken me way longer to be able to start to make an imprint because that department was totally new. We were starting from the ground up. So that's one example of how a mentor really helped me fast track my learning and my success. And I also think about a mentor that I have right now. He owns his own executive search company. And one of the things that he always, one, we are very different. He does have more experience than me, and we come from different backgrounds, which I think is always helpful. But with his experience serving as a human resource officer and understanding how to recruit talent, he has been able to help me with presentations and being in rooms that I wouldn't ordinarily be in. So we are presented several times for our hospital associations. But what it allowed me to do is think like a human resources officer. Many times in the lab, we say, well, why can't you get us qualified people? What's taking so long? Why is our time to fill this and that? But when you have somebody that's explaining to you how the process works, then it allows you to be able to think differently. And so that's helped me in my role as our system chemistry director at CompuNet, be able to think, okay, let me utilize LinkedIn to try to find talent. Because sometimes HR get bogged down with the number of requisitions that we have this open. So being able to find those specialists in a platform that maybe we wouldn't have historically thought about. So just that nugget of having my mentor who's in that recruiting space, who's using technology to be able to find a needle in a haystack, has helped me directly into the laboratory, be able to help our HR team, help me help us. So I think mentorship is, I mean, again, it's a non-negotiable and it will fast track your success.
For me, one of the beautiful things about a mentor-mentee relationship is it involves talking. I have been involved in some relationships where most of it was done via email or questions like that, but I don't find them to be particularly that beneficial. But when you actually sit down and talk with somebody, either in person or Zoom or so forth, you really get a chance to learn things from them. And just as we mentioned before, mentoring and being a mentor or mentee can happen at any time in your career. And we always need help unless we're at the apex of where we're going to go in life. And so many times I have benefited from just talking to individuals about things maybe not even related to what they are interested in, but just learning a little bit about them. And you find out that they could really help you, or they know people that could really help you, really turn the tables. And so I can't even think about how many times that's been beneficial, you know, to me. And you get somebody at a very junior stage, they're not going to be junior forever. And they're going to progress in their career and they're going to know people and they're going to do things that are going to be helpful to you as well. So it helps you expand your network.
I kind of want to circle back a little bit to something you said, Tawana, earlier that I found really interesting. You talked about being a relatively new mom and having to search out that sort of network or whatever. It occurs to me that we all do that, right? We all have aspects of our personal lives that we need essentially mentorship in, right? We think of mentors and mentees as a professional thing that we do, but we truly do this in our entire lives. I'll just use myself for an example. You know, several years ago, I got a divorce. Obviously, it was my first marriage, first time going through that. How do I swim in these waters? Well, you talk to people who have done it before. And even if their exact trajectory isn't your own, then you get insight into that, right? I recently lost both my parents, the exact same thing. Somebody's gone through it and they can help you navigate that. And then you in turn, whenever it's someone else's time to go through that, then you can be a source of information for them. So I think that's one way of looking at the mentor-mentee relationship. It's not necessarily, I'm doing this so I can be a medical director in 20 years. You know, even if that's kind of what the goal you have in mind, that's maybe not exactly why you're doing this exact mentor-mentee relationship right now. So having said all of that, that's kind of a big runway to my question, is as medical laboratory professionals and pathologists, how can we maximize our mentor-mentee relationships?
I think one is mentees should have, maybe refine the expectation that you're going to have more than one mentor throughout life. So one mentor is likely not going to be able to help you with all of your issues now, or even, you know, as you progress along. So the better you can identify a very specific area, I need help with this, I need guidance with that, I think that's when the mentor-mentee relationship has the potential to be the most successful.
I agree. And I think understanding what you need at that particular time in your life. So whether it is that professional mentor who's going to help you navigate your particular organization or the laboratory landscape, or is it you're at a point in your life where you really need that mentor that's operating more so on the personal capacity, whether it is, you know, moving through grief or, you know, overcoming a loss or whatever the case may be. I think, too, you have to understand that every mentoring relationship will look different. Like, there's no one shoe size fit all type of approach. So it could be you're meeting up for coffee with your mentor every week. But it also could be you're getting emails and you're doing the whole email correspondence with your mentor, or it could be the video version, right? So there's no right or wrong way. I think you and the mentor have to establish what does that look like. I get mentorship from people that we're not in the same state, and many times we're not in the same time zone. So meeting up for physical coffee is not ideal, right? But being able to meet up with them on video is ideal for us. So I think medical lab professionals and pathologists can maximize the benefits of mentorship by finding out what it is that you need at that time. So asking yourself, what is it that you need at that time? And understand that you can go from mentor to mentee, from mentor to mentee all the time, right? So you can be a mentor and a mentee at the exact same time.
One other thing that I'll add is that in the world that we're living in right now, it's incredibly busy. In the laboratory world, we're short staffed as well. So you may not be able to carve out time during the traditional workday to have these type of, you know, these conversations and to develop these type of relationships. So that's where both on the, especially on the mentor's part, but also on the mentee part, being flexible, and on the mentor's part, being generous in your time and just knowing that you may have to do this outside of normal work hours. You may have to give up some of the things that you would normally be doing to take that time for the mentor, toward mentee relationship.
And the only other thing that I would add to that is be prepared to embark on full circle mentorship, right? So when you receive mentorship, I mean, the best right thing to do is for you to mentor someone else. I can remember being a mentor for the University of Cincinnati's mentorship program. And so I had a mentee that I mentored. The goal of the program was to connect mentees with mentors in the profession. And one of the things that I did state early on to my mentee is that, well, I am, you know, giving you value. I am spending time with you. And I think the best thing for you to do is to be able to return that favor. That's how you could help me, is returning that favor to another emerging lab professional. And so, yeah, paying it forward. So I mentored her, and then she in turn mentored another student. And so for me as a mentor, that's what brings me joy, is finding that full circle moment of knowing that I impacted someone's life, but knowing that they too are impacting other people's lives as well.
And probably more than one person, honestly. So yeah, it's kind of a pyramid scheme, that, right?
It is. And if everybody subscribed to that, think how much further we could be in the laboratory, in life as in general. As you're getting a nugget or two of wisdom that somebody's sharing with you, you also have a zone of genius that you could share with somebody else as well. Somebody is waiting for your voice. They're waiting for your wisdom. They're waiting for your mentorship.
To me, the most satisfying mentor-mentee relationships is exactly like what Taiwan was saying, that the mentee then becomes the mentor, and you get to see that. You see how effective they are. And I think it's just, it really helps to promote an atmosphere where we're all in this together. We're all trying to learn from each other. You know, there is no one master person that knows it all. And I think the more we can promote that, and the more we can recognize that, I think people really buy into that. That they say, yeah, this is neat that everyone learns from each other. And, you know, it's not such a pedantic top down type of workflows or relationships. I think it helps promote a much better workplace, and what's better for the workplace is better for our patients. So I think it's a really important aspect. I got to personally see this recently. One of my former mentees is now a faculty member at a different institution, and we were tying up some loose ends on one of her former projects that we hadn't published yet. And she said, I'd really like to engage this student. She's trying to get into residency. I think this will help her. And I thought the fact that she wanted to engage and help that person be first author on this and really mentor, I just thought it was terrific. And I said, absolutely, this sounds like a great idea. You know, did it delay things a little bit? Yes, of course. It's always easier to do it yourself and not engage learners. But the learner did such a great job with this, and seeing them develop with it and really take control of it was really, really gratifying. So I think all of us really enjoyed the entire journey with that.
Ah, Russell, that just made me feel a little warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, we're about out of time. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. This has been a really great conversation. I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. I did. This was really great. So thanks for joining us. I want to tell all of our listeners to, one, tell your colleagues about the podcast, and two, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast aggregator so you don't miss future episodes.
And as always, don't forget that you can receive CME and CMLE credit for listening to our podcast by looking for Inside the Lab in the AACP store on our website at www.aacp.org.